Right, that's it. End of podcast. Wicked,
done.
Mate. Listen, we went way over the time by almost 10 minutes. But we did that because I think, do you know what? At the end of the day, right? Loads and loads and loads of value in there, right? And if you was to say to me, what is the biggest thing that maximizes the value of someone's house? I'm going to say price. That's what I say, right?
Yeah.
But everything you said in terms of agent, in terms of marketing, in terms of, you know, the difference between the agencies and their business models, I just thought we just need to crack on, mate. Ladies and gentlemen, in today's episode of Zero BS Estate Agency, we have a remarkable guest whose entrepreneurial journey is nothing short of awe-inspiring. Meet James Kendall, a true testament to resilience and determination. So James' story began 12 years ago in the spare bedroom of his mum's house, where he started a business, i.e. estate agency, selling houses for just 999 quid under a no-sale, no-fee promise. But we all know where that went. Literally facing financial turmoil within 6 months, he hustled harder, learning vital lessons about adaptability. And determined to align his passion with his work, James got rid of the stack and my sell and cheap business model and now boasts an average fee of £8,500, upholding commitment to quality and exceptional client service. So James, what is the one thing that truly maximizes the value of someone's home when they go to sell?
I'm going to make it really easy and simple, but then obviously I'm going to elaborate on it. It's definitely, and it sounds really obvious, but it's got to be the agent. That's the difference. Now you're going to ask me to elaborate on that, which it's so many different things. Like I think I said to you earlier, I've just come from a valuation this morning, right? And I'm one of six agents. And I realize I'm probably not going to win the business. Not this time around anyway. Mainly because I've been upfront and honest, really. The easy thing to do is give someone a really high valuation based on what they want to hear. So that, and in fact, the potential seller said to me, well, it's funny you should say that because you're the only person that's given me a price. Everyone else has asked me, what do I think? And I said to her, I said, if everyone's asking what you think, what are they doing sitting in the chair opposite? Because I've gone through things that we've sold within a quarter of a mile radius that are comparable. I've gone through things that haven't sold. I've gone through things that were on and failed to sell have now been withdrawn. So the price I've given you is, it's a range. You know, so we're talking about here. So for context, I've said somewhere between £6,000 and £6,500, right? Which is quite a big range. £50,000 is quite a big range, but I felt like the house had potential. My strategy would have been guide £6,000 to £6,500, because I know it works, get people through the door, get good price feedback. And I said, you're probably going to end up somewhere between £620 to £640. Worst case scenario, £620. Best case scenario, £640. Maybe more. Maybe you'll get £650. Who knows? But the reality is, and looking at the square footage of this house, looking at the square footage of the other homes, looking at what you've done, you know, because I mean, I sell unique homes as well, but this is a modern home. There's comparable square footage to other house. You know, it's on the development of, let's say, 150 homes, and there's similar homes comparable to it. And there's the exact same home as theirs for sale without the extension, without any of the upgrades and the work done. And I worked back from what I thought they'd spent, which was pretty much bang on pre-COVID, added it to the value and said, look, plus a bit more, this is where you should be. But where the others had said, well, you know, let's stick it on at 700-ish. Let's go offers over seven. And yeah, well, you know, we'll give it 3, 4, 5, 6 months and see how it goes. Now, you and I both know that time kills price. If it was a case of just sticking it on a high price and waiting for it to sell, then fuck it, let's put it on at £1 million. If someone's going to pay, you know, by that logic, put it on at £1 million and someone will buy it. Well, it doesn't happen like that because there's things like surveyors, there's things like Rightmove. In the age that we live in now, the digital footprint that you put online, people can see what you paid, when you paid, what your neighbors sold for, what the market's like. You know, people don't just hop onto Rightmove one day and go, I might move house. Oh, that looks nice. I'll buy that. You'll find that a lot of sellers, and certainly in my experience, have looked at what's in the market, what's on the market, what's sold, what hasn't sold, what the neighbor sold for. And they're a lot more educated than they were. I mean, I've done the job 20 years. 20 years ago, you could probably get away with that. You could put the property in the window at, I don't know, 700 grand. And then next week you could print off something else at 650 and no one had ever known unless they'd walk past the window. So, you know, there's loads of different things and loads of different parts to what makes a difference. And I think advice is one, and knowing what you're talking about is one. Now, it's slightly different on unique homes, because in the last 12 months, I have achieved nearly £500,000 more than the next lowest valuation three times for three of my clients on unique homes. Wow. And £500,000 is effing massive.
Yeah.
Life-changing, right? And the way that I've done this is I recognized what the, because again, this is the upper end of the market, right? So I'm talking £1 million+. And in these three scenarios, the first one, the next lowest valuation, the agent said offers over 9 to get between. And this is the back end of the 22 market, right? Where houses were selling themselves. Not going to be popular opinion amongst agents, but who cares? Houses were selling themselves, right? Offers over 9 to get 1.1. I said offers over 1.5, maybe 1.4, somewhere between those two. We tried 1.5, didn't work. We dropped 100 grand, offers over 1.4, and we got 1.41 for it in the end. That set a new price record on the street. It's 500K lower than the, I appreciate he said 1 to 1.1, so maybe 3, 400K, but 500 sounds better. Another one, genuinely 500 difference, where a client had been told 1.2 by an agent, and I sold it for 1.7 to a cash buyer who completed in 6 weeks. And I think the biggest thing is, again, it's the agent. It's not just the agent as in the agency. It's the agent as in the person you're dealing with. Because you can have a great agent, a great estate agent and company that's got great marketing. But then if a complete idiot has shown somebody around that's never, A, looked around the house before, says things like, this is the kitchen, this is the lounge, you know, has got no experience and is not emotionally intelligent, then, you know, what's Tom Panos say? There's nothing more expensive than having a hot buyer in front of a shit agent. True, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Completely.
And how easy are you to do business with? Sorry, I've literally gone bam, 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 bam there. Do you want to jump in? Is there anything you want to say before I carry on?
No, so there was a couple of things there, right? There was you feel based on your own experience that actually it's the agent, is the thing, the person or the element responsible for achieving maximum money. You said about there's also price as well has a big effect as well.
Yeah.
But if you had to choose between the two, price and agent, i.e. yeah. you or like the individual agent, like going back to Tom Panos.
Yeah.
What would you say? What would you say?
Agent all day long.
Say again?
Agent all day long. Agent will make a difference all day long, because, and this is, you know, it's not always popular with the bigger firms, but this is why some of the self-employed agency models have been so popular and been so successful, because it's all down to the individual. It doesn't matter what name's above the door. Some of the agents that I've got to know that are part of various different models, and it, you know, I'm not here to say, oh, this model's great, that model's great. I don't care. But what I do care about is who's a good agent and what they offer their clients and the skills they bring, because you know you earn what you learn, and if you dedicate yourself to learning more and upskilling yourself, that's when ultimately that transfers back to the client. So whether that is you're upskilling your marketing, your social media offering, like, you know, you've absolutely crushed TikTok, right? But you've obviously gone off somewhere and gone, right, this is what I need to do to get on here. And then you've been successful because you've been consistent and you've just gone, do you know what? Bam, 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 bam. And it's similar with agency. You know, like there's a an agent that I've got to know quite well, and I consider quite a good friend now, a lady called Tanya Baker, and she's had some great success recently on Instagram and TikTok.
She smashed it.
And do you know what, though? She is a ledge. Mm. Love her, right? She, and we were talking about, just before you hit record, about authenticity, right? She is who you see on the screen. She is, like, when you chat to her, we haven't met yet, but like when we've chatted on Instagram or whatever before, that, you know, I could just tell from the things we've talked about, like in agency and the things that she does and what I can see, I just know that, like, there's like a list of five agents on one hand that come to my mind that I would sell my house with in this country. And I look at them and I go, this one, because I know that they'd get me the best price, they'd look after me, and my house would look what it deserves to look, if that makes sense.
So I'll give you an example, right? And I'm only giving you an example because I just want to just sense check whether I'm saying the right thing. For example, what a good agent looks like. So
yeah,
I'm very much, the way I operate is always err on the side of caution. And so what that basically means is that I get very nervous about, like, a seller saying to me, yeah, but John, the other agent said, and X price, can you put it on for that? Because I really like you and I don't like them. My answer is no, because if I put it on for their price, it's going to make me ill because I'm never going to achieve maximum money for you. Simple.
Yeah.
But going back to your point, when you're saying about agent, there was one very quick story. A seller got me round. The other agent said 450 grand for the house. And I said to him, I know this is going to be massive. And I've only ever done this like a small handful of times since 2003. I know this is going to sound massive, right? But I think you should go for 530. Yeah. And he was like, I'm not going to give you the property because you've clearly overvalued in order to win an instruction. So my response to that was, listen, mate, I haven't. I don't want you to sign my contract. I don't want you to market the property through me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want you to do any of those things, but I do want you to send me an email to confirm that if I'm able to sell this house at 530 with one viewing, then you'll pay my 1.5% fee, which was 1.5 at that time. It's now more, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, sold it for what I said I was going to sell it for.
Nice.
So when you're talking about the right agent, my impression of what you're saying is that as a negotiator, even though I was a sales manager then, but as a negotiator, if I've got a superior method of qualifying buyers and I truly have embedded in my mind their vision of the perfect property, and I know that it's just a simple phone call because that buyer trusts me implicitly for me to say, or for them to think they really know what they want, which means I'm not wasting their time, which means that I call them, they drop what they're doing, they leave the office early, they don't ask their boss permission to come and do a viewing, they say, boss, I'm going, there's a fucking perfect house for me, I'm off. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They then come and make the offer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so is that what you're talking about in terms of, like, agent actually truly knowing what the buyers in your market actually think? Yeah.
Yeah.
In order for you then to impart that information on the seller. Right. And so is that, like, just one element of being a really good agent, or are there other elements as well being a really good agent?
So that's definitely one element of it, is knowing your buyers. And that is why I said to you before, kind of off air, you know, historically we were low fee, you know, the business has been going 12 years. Historically we were low fee, high volume. And you literally, all you're doing is listing on Rightmove, hoping the phone's going to ring, and basically constantly trying to bang a square peg in a round hole. Or if someone rings up and wants to buy a house, great. I fell out of love with that. And then, you know, 5 years ago, certain things happened, and I then decided that, look, I'm going to go after what I enjoy. And, you know, the relational side of the business, the marketing side of the business, there's, again, too much to talk about to fit in this time period now. But the agent is just one part of it. Having the ability to be a higher fee and lower volume enables you to, A, not only spend time with your clients that are selling their homes, but spend time with buyers. and get, as you just said then, John, get to know buyers. You know, I sold a house recently off market, couldn't sell it on the market for 900, and we sold it off market a year later. Granted, the market had improved, but for 1.1, off market, no viewing, sorry, no photos or anything. Literally, I said, right, your friend's moved down the road. You told me this. You're looking in this area. Your max budget's 1.2. What about if I've got this for you at 1.1? And they said, all right, show me around. Showed them around. We did the deal. And the sellers were, I mean, they were blown away. You know, they tried the online option, online only options. They tried traditional options. They tried the dusty high street agent option. But the three agents they'd gone through in a year and had no success. And then this guy that they called, because they had a few letters from me, pops along off market and sells it for a premium price. But just because I recognized that, because the house was a great house. It was worth that money all day long, but it just hadn't been marketed correctly, which is what brings me on, segues nicely into the other part of it, the marketing. You've got to get your marketing right. It's different. If you're, and again, I mean this in the most least pretentious way possible, but selling a two-bedroom 90s box is different to selling a unique home on a third of an acre or an acre plot, like overlooking the countryside. There's much, you know, everyone's got to live somewhere, and homes are homes, but there's a different skill and a different demographic and a different character types you're dealing with at that level, that again enables you to, and again, you know, I've cut my teeth at the lower end, and we still do. We don't turn our nose up at someone with a £300,000 house, but it's got to be right, if that makes sense. And we've proven consistently that we can get a higher price. And again, there's loads of different things that we haven't got time to talk about right now, but the quality of your marketing has got to be on point, regardless of whether you're 300 or 3 million. You've got to have professional photographs. You've got to have an accurate floor plan with measurements on it. A lifestyle description that paints the picture of what it's like to live in that house. You know, a tremendous so-and-so estate agents are delighted to be favoured with sole instructions for this tremendous two-bedroom terrace. No one gives a shit, to be honest. I was going to say stuff. Shit, about both. No one cares. You know, what is it like? And the thing is, people that sell £300,000 homes sometimes turn out to be the people that own £3 million homes later on in life. And they'll always remember, there's that saying, isn't it? People will forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And I think not just in how you deal with them as an agent, but even things like your photos, the description, you know, what it's like to live in a house. You know, we employ a specialist copywriter for all of our houses, whether they're 300 grand, whether they're 3 million. And people love and resonate with it because they're like, it tells the story of those sellers. And, you know, it might be the first time buyers that moved into the house, had kids, had the dog, and now they're upsizing, but they've loved it because of X, Y, and Z. They just need more space. It might be the bungalow, you know, the elderly people unfortunately have passed away, but it's the story about how mum and dad loved the house, why they moved there, why it's going to be great for your mum and dad, and why they're going to love it. And then things like video. We do a video with every single house, so there's two different types. We hit all different parts of the brain. There's the logical side of the brain that wants the data and the nitty-gritty, but there's the emotive side of the brain, which a lot of people employ in terms of how the house and how the moving process makes them feel. And the two parts, there's a video we do, which is just a normal reel, which is like a 90-second quick zoom through of the house and a quick tour of the rooms. There's some music. And then there's the full presenter-led tour, which kind of gives them an idea of the geography and allows us to convey a bit more about what actually is in the house, why they would love living there. And it's a good filter for buyers as well to see what they're getting before they take an hour out of their day to come and see where they might like to live for the next 10 years.
Yeah. And I think, do you remember seeing the Instagram video that Tanya put up when she was selling her mum and dad's place?
Yeah, I love that.
And she told the story of why she didn't actually want to sell it and everything else. So to your point, I completely agree with you. And Tanya's video is the proof. I think that got something ridiculous. And I want to say something like 157,000 video likes
Yeah.
And about a gazillion views
on a
property in South London.
Yeah.
A big, and
it, remember, and, it says in the video, I didn't really want to sell this house. And I'm not supposed to say that, but I can say it because they're my parents. And
yeah.
It's like the money tree in the garden. Like, that's weird. I remember all sorts of different things like that. And I'm like, yeah, as you say, it's, and that's one thing that we are starting to get to grips with, because a lot of agents have seen what we've done in terms of marketing. They're not consistent enough with it, but they've started to catch up and they've started to do the odd video, if that makes sense. But so, I think, sorry, mate, go on.
I was going to say, it's, so when we say it's agents, what we're actually saying is does the agent have a series of methodologies for different scenarios that they can pull out the buffet? For example, the marketing, the qualification of a buyer, the understanding that they are accountable to be given bad news if there's bad news ever to be given, but they also have the solution for it as well. So an agent also has, for example, your experience of doing, you know, like sell them cheap, stack them high scenario. Mm. Yeah, that may have ended up not being the right business model for you. And so you've changed into actually, no, I'm going to get paid the big boys money because actually I bring a lot to this party and I generate a lot for my clients. So why am I going to get paid the small amount? But what you're actually saying is an agent has to truly know what they're doing. For example, when we talk about fees, and we're talking about not all agencies, I get it, because there's some agencies that don't pay, let's say, for example, a negotiator is getting paid 20 grand a year as a basic salary, and then they're getting paid 10% of a deal when it completes. And let's say that is a £300,000 house. Well, the 1% fee that the agent is charging is £3,000. Then the negotiator is going to get 300 quid upon a successful completion. Now, that's before tax, by the way. So you could argue that they're cutting their teeth on somebody else's dime in terms of learning the trade, right?
Yeah.
But equally, at the same time, if I'm, and I know this is not your business model, but if I'm looking at a business model like that, that is like, I've got negotiators working for me that are being paid, say, 10% of the fee, I want to pay that negotiator minimum 15% of the actual fee, but my fee can't be 1%. It has to be a minimum 1.5, because I want to turn that 300 quid into 800 quid for the negotiator.
Yeah.
And if they sell four of those or five of those in a month, what's that?
Happy
four
days.
Grand?
Yeah. Yeah.
£4,000 in their back pocket on top of their salary. Is that going to be the sort of negotiator that you want doing viewings?
Yeah.
Property for the set. That's you would that versus the negotiator is just there because they wanted a job.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to qualify buyers. The agency is not taking pro photography. The agent is getting the marketing all completely wrong. And I think that what and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think agency is changing.
Yeah.
And I think the business model of saying what you need to say in order to get instructed with a 1% fee for an entire agency that's got to keep their office doors open plus pay the negotiator 10%, I think that business model is not working.
Yeah.
I think the self-employed model or the agencies like an independent like yourself, which is like true understanding of what's going on, I think it's very important, tell me if I'm wrong, but for a seller when they are looking to sell their property, if you go back to the valuation you did this morning, one of six agents, would you say it's better for the seller to really be looking at the overall business model of the agent?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you say it's they should be focusing on, well, the agent said they can get me 50 grand more, so that's what we're going to go with?
Yeah, I think it's difficult, but I think definitely they should be focusing on the agent. I think they should probably be doing research, a bit more research in terms of who they're actually inviting out. I appreciate it's difficult because a lot of the time, the difference between agents to the consumer is what colour the logo is going to be next to my house on Rightmove a lot of the time. And it's trying to demonstrate when you're in that living room or when you're in that dining table or wherever you are talking to the potential client that you are different and they're, because they're different. Everyone says they're different, but that you are genuinely tangibly different, that this is what you can, and this is what I try and get across. These are the results that I've achieved. This is how I've achieved those results. And this is why I've said the price is going to be this price. And it's different because if you're selling a modern estate home like this one was, then the margin for a super price is quite slim, because there's probably a 90%, 95% chance that your buyer is going to have a mortgage. And with a unique home, there's a good chance that their loan to value is going to be pretty low, or they're going to be cash, that you can get away with, you know, another 10%, sometimes another 15, 20%. So it's definitely, you've got to look at the agent who comes to see you. And I would ask them and hold them accountable. You know, you're coming to see me today. You've set this price. What happens if you don't achieve this price for a start? And secondly, what does this process look like? What's plan A? And if plan A doesn't work, what's plan B? How long am I tied in for? Those kind of, hold them accountable. Because I'll say to people, someone said to me, I had a meeting with a guy the other day really quickly. And I said, look, if I don't get 1.4 for your house and I end up achieving 1.25, then I'll slash my fee. I said, I'll chuck 0.5% off my fee. So I'll charge you 1%. I was like, I'm that confident that I'll get you over 1.25. I'll get you 1.4 that to pay my fee, 1.5. If not, then I'll chop it down. And he said, he looked really surprised that I was able to do that. And I'm like, well, at the end of the day, it cuts both ways, you know. But the certain percentages, at one, if I got 1.3 at 1.5, doesn't make that much difference to me financially, as much as 0.5% does at that level. So what I'm doing here is I'm showing I'm accountable to you, and I'm prepared to kind of put my cards on the table and prepare myself to be hit financially in a big way if I don't achieve what I say I'm going to achieve.
So is it agents, or is it actually the agent that's prepared to be accountable?
Accountable agent. Agent is accountable, but definitely from a seller's point of view, the biggest difference is the agent, not the estate agency as the company. It's who is going to be managing your move and helping you achieve the best price and move on to your next chapter.
James, Kendall, mate, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I have really enjoyed this, and I'm loving your insights, mate.
Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me on. And yeah, keep it up, mate. I love when you work on TikTok. So yeah, keep it up, mate.